The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter.
When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in God's own self, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Judeans, so now I say to you, you will look for me. Where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I greet you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has someone on this earth who epitomized the love of God for us and to us. It could be our parents, it could be our spouses, our friends, our children, our church. But there is also another group who sacrificed their lives for the love of their country. And this is the army, the soldiers. And I saw this in Ukraine, not only soldiers, even civilians, for the love of their country. They sacrificed, and they still sacrifice themselves for the love of their country. But let me pose these few questions to us. Who do we have the hardest time loving? Is it people who are different from us? People who have hurt us? People who see things differently? Who do we have the hardest time to love? So I ask myself this week, what was Christ's finest hour of love here on this earth? What was his finest moment when the love of God shone through most clearly? I think that most people would answer when he died on the cross. And it's true. Yes. As Jesus was being killed on the cross, he looked out at those who were crucifying him and taunting him. And with the look of compassion in his eyes, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I think that was Jesus' finest moment of love. And Jesus says this morning, love each other in the same way. When those around you, family, school, work, hurt you, taunt you, create great pain in you, we are to have a heart of love. Sometimes there are hurdles to get over. Racial, cultural, economic differences, problems of social status. But in life, we get hurt so deeply, very, very deeply, sometimes by those the closest to us. And our deepest desire is to get even or to get away from them. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And yet, our own needs often take precedence over those of our brothers and sisters. But this morning, my dear friends, it is important to understand this passage as foreshadowing Jesus' departure and equipping the church to live in the aftermath of that departure. We all know Judas sold Jesus and Peter denied him as well. And yet, such rejection does not diminish Jesus' love in the very least. Indeed, his concern in the farewell discourse is not about the disciples that have abandoned him, rather about how he orphans them with his departure. So here's something I want to highlight about Jesus. He has already told his disciples, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. And for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And this is the common text during the Maundy Thursday. So on one hand, loving one another as Jesus has loved encompasses the mundane. And it means serving one another, even in the most menial tasks. But on the other hand, the love encompasses heroic acts of great risk. It extends even to the point of giving one's life for the other. The love that Jesus demonstrates is certainly not based on the merit of the recipients. And Jesus commands his disciples to love others in the same way. And it is a love that is very difficult, incredibly difficult. It is the ultimate tough love. So radical in such a way that love, and it's so rare like Jesus, that if we were to live in this ongoing practice of it, those who observe us would notice and conclude that, right or wrong, we are Jesus' disciples. So when I look at my own life, it's too hard to name why I perpetually fail to obey Jesus' dying wish. It is because love is vulnerable making, and I would rather not be vulnerable. Love requires trust, and I'm always suspicious. Love spills over margins and boundaries, and I feel safer and holier policing myself, my borders around me. Love takes time. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes listening. It takes feeling, empathy, and transformation. And I am just damn busy every day with my own life. And yet, Jesus didn't say, this is my suggestion. No. He said, this is my command. You have to do it. It's a command. Meaning, it's not a choice. It's not a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of obedience to the one we call Lord. And Jesus doesn't say, act as if you have. He says, love as I have loved you. And this is authentic love, authentic feeling, deep engagement, and generous action. By the way, when you read the Gospel of John, this is one of the Gospels with a lot of verbs. I mean, we have seen already saying glorify, you know, love. Oh, so it's about action. Love is about doing. Love is about demonstrating it. You know, sometimes we tend to use this love differently. You know, love, you know, I love you. This is one thing. Correct me for those who have got the German background. They say in Germany, you don't just call anybody "I love" because it's very intimate. You call someone "love" to your wife or to your children. Of course, in America, you can just say "I love." I mean, you know, I love my pastor, right? I love my pastor. You know, I love my friend. You can use that anyhow. But you find this love is used differently in different traditions because it means something so deep. It's not something eros, you know, from being, you know, my fiance, my wife, and so forth, or my friend, phileo. No. Here we are talking about the agapeo love, the love that we give for the other sacrificially. And for Jesus, love did not mean sweet, sentimental feeling. It meant action. It meant actively loving, putting one's love into the real world activities. Now, I want you to imagine something this morning. What would happen to us, to the church, to the world, if we look this command of Jesus seriously? And I think many of you remember what Martin Luther King Jr. says. He says the 10th o'clock hour is the most segregated hour in America. And what does he mean? The church is highly segregated racially. But these are the church. You can't be a Christian and racial at the same time. No. You can only be one, not both. So love. What then? What does it mean to us as a church? And if we demonstrate this love to the world, and if we demonstrate this seriously, I ask these questions fearfully because I don't know how to answer them. Even for myself. I mean, I know fairly well how to do things, but I do not know how to love as Jesus loved. To experience a hunger for justice so fierce and so urgent that I rearrange my life in order to pursue it. And most of the time, I'll be honest with you, I want to be safe. I want to keep my circle small and manageable. And I want to choose the people I love based on my own affinities and preferences. You know, sometimes, have you ever felt that you just look at somebody and say, you know what, I mean, I just don't like this guy. He hasn't done anything, but I just don't like him. But why? I just don't, you know, I just don't like him. Jesus is saying, love one another as I have loved you. Imagine those people who tormented him and finally who killed him. But again, he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Right there on the cross, in such pain, in that moment of death, he loved us. And again, Jesus showed that's the all-inclusive commandment here, love one another. And yet, this was Jesus' dying wish, which means that we have to have a God who first and foremost wants every one of his children to feel loved, not shamed, not punished, not chastised, not judged, not isolated, but loved. But that's not all. Jesus follows this commandment with an exhilarating and terrifying process. By this, everyone will know. Meaning, love is the litmus test of the Christian witness. Our love for each other is how the world will know who we are and whose we are. Our love for each other is how the world will see, taste, touch, hear, feel, and find Jesus. And it's through our love that we will embody Jesus, make Jesus relatable, possible, and plausible to a dying world. I can't speak for you, but this makes me tremble. What Jesus seems to say is that if we fail to love one another, the world won't know what it needs to know about God. And in the terrible absence of that knowing, the world will believe the falsehoods that break God's heart, i.e., that the whole Jesus thing is a shame, that there is really no transformative power through the resurrection, that God is a mean, angry, and vindictive parent, determined only to shame and punish his children, that the universe is a cold, meaningless place ungoverned by love, and that the church is only a flawed and a hypocritical institution, not Christ's living, breathing, and healing body on earth. So such is the power we wield as the church in our decisions to love and not to love. Such are the stakes involved in how we choose to respond to Jesus' dying wish, hope and prayer and command. And such is the responsibility we shoulder, whether we want or not. But here is our saving grace. Jesus doesn't leave us alone and bereft. We are not directionless in the wilderness. He gives us a roadmap, a clear and beautiful way forward. As I have loved you. He doesn't just say love. As I have loved you. What does Jesus mean here? Follow my example. Do what I do. Love as I love. Live as you have seen me live. Do as I have done. Weep with those who weep. Laugh with those who laugh. Touch the untouchables. Feed the hungry. Feed the hungry. Welcome the child. Release the captives, forgive the sinner, confront the oppressor, comfort the oppressed, wash each other's feet, hold each other's clothes, teach other the truth, guide each other home. So we don't have to perfectly do it so that it can have meaning. Because we are human beings, but we do as Jesus did. But I want to tell you something, that God is love, that God sent Jesus to show us that we are loved, that this love changes us, it empowers us to love others, and that when we struggle to love, often compelling reasons, God continues to love us and work through our lives to bless the world God has created and continues to sustain. I don't want to be controversial here, but this morning I watched the news and I saw almost all the entire country with people with placards all over against the bill on abortion. But I was asking myself, I saw there was one elderly woman, maybe in the 80s, 90s, among the crowd. It touched, that was the only thing that touches me most. I said, she's not even in the age of bearing children anymore. But she is standing in solidarity with those are affected. And I say, thank you, Lord, I've got a sermon today. She preached it to me, and I think she preached it to many right there at that town hall, holding the placard. About she stands in solidarity with those, the young, who are still childbearing age. That's the love we are talking about. Sacrificial love. We can make our home in Jesus' love, my brothers and sisters. The most abundant and inexhaustible love in existence. Our love is not our own. It is God's. And God, as our source, is without limit, without end. There are no parched places God will not drench if we ask. My dear friends, love one another as Jesus loves you, for your own sakes and for the world's. Amen.